God inspired Paul to write Ephesians, the sixth chapter, based on his experiences in prison while viewing prison guards. In fact, in Ephesians 6:15, Paul talks about the gospel of peace and warns that Satan wants us to question our peace with God, our peace with ourselves, and our peace with mankind. On today, Pastor Edogiri Seawright shares part 4 of our series on the armor of God called Given Peace to Give Peace, Feet Shod with the Gospel. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Given peace to give peace to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As always, just a few things. First thing I want to say is some sad news that I want to share with the church. Backing up just a little before I say that. We had a series on prayer, and how many still believe that prayer can change things? I hope that you all have not gone weary in well-doing. I hope that you're still praying, amen. I hope you're still praying and still seeking God, still talking to your Father, our Father, amen. I hope the number of women in this prayer room is increasing and not diminishing, because we need prayer change things. The reason why I mention this is because we're going to do some emphasis on prayer once again. We're going to start a church-wide prayer. and come together and be unified in prayer. And I'm going to lay it out to you all, and it's going to be about a 30-day prayer fest, if you will. And each day we're going to continue to pray about this. Amen?
Amen.
And if you all can just give like 30 minutes out of your day to pray on one accord.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that it can really change things.
Amen.
But before we even roll that out, we need some prayer warriors to hit their knees now. The reason being is because of Elder Gene Harris, Jr. Mm-hmm. Some know and some may not know that he was actually in a hospital. He's been in a hospital. And the situation that they described to me is he's on his death. Don't know the particulars, but I do know that it's a situation that God has to come to. And God has to change. Amen. Loved ones are by his side, and they have to make crucial decisions. So pray for Jermaine. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sure. In addition to that, we're going to reschedule the baptismal service. Amen. It's kind of interesting how God works. Okay, we couldn't have it last week, but I heard the consensus of those who were going to be, the family of those who were going to be baptized. They were like, good. Because I wanted folks to come out, I wanted word to get out, and wanted loved ones to come and support. So, you know, devil gets in the way, and God says, we're gonna check that in a good box. Amen. Amen. But that leads me to another thing. Amen. It was some maintenance work that that was required before we have this baptismal service take place, and that maintenance service it's been done. We got hot water, so, you know, we're good, and, you know, that's the biggest part of the song that says it's chill my body, but I myself would have froze your body. So we're good. But that leads me to another thing. I have to challenge the men and the young men in particular. We have folks with knowledge, but they're aging. God has blessed them to still be with us, but it's time for them to pass that knowledge on. And when they are looking to pass that knowledge on, there's no one to hand it to. I'm talking about knowledge that will help you in your home, where you don't have to call like Bobo Rubin, Ruth Warren, and anything like that. You can fix it yourself. This is the knowledge that you have within this church, and you're trying to pass it on. Amen? And we just need somebody to pass it to. So we're just going to meet with the young men, meet with the men, and tighten that up. You know, baptismal pool was, it needed some work. And there was this scene, just like on Resurrection Sunday, where the women came and met the Lord. And then you wonder, where's the So the point is, though, is that, you know, thank God for some faithful women that came in and stood in the gap. But we don't want it to be that way. We don't want it to be that way. Now that I pop you upside the head, I'm going to encourage you. Amen. It's a today's message. Aren't y'all feeling good? Coming in today, won't be a long message, but the title of this message is Given Peace to Give Peace. You've been given peace to give peace. You know, this week I was reading, and in my reading, I came across an amazing story. And the story goes like this. Imagine that you lost your mother, and she died at 27 due to cardiovascular disease. And then your father dies at 68. And he too had cardiovascular disease. And in fact, he dies due to complications with a stroke. But prior to his death, he had about 2 to 3 heart attacks. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the interesting part. Your father's second heart attack occurred 1 week before your first heart attack. Yeah. Right. Now, this heart attack catches you by surprise. Why? Because you're in great shape. You are Arthur Ashe, right? A professional tennis player, number one in America, tennis player, right? And in fact, you are the first or only black male to win Wimbledon, the US Open, and the Australian Open. Now, although you have experienced these lows, he experienced these lows, guess what? Things got even lower, right? Because he had to have bypass surgery, right? And then during one surgery, they discovered that he contracted HIV/AIDS due to a blood transfusion. Now, while he knew that his body was decaying, right? His body, he was dying. He still had enough resolve and enough inward fortitude to help others. When he was determined that he had heart issues, he became the spokesman for the American Heart Association. And after contracting HIV and all of the rumors and everything else that were going around about him, he and his wife had to deal with, he still founded the Arthur Ashe Foundation to help folks to make sure that they have adequate health benefits and services. And also, he was a spokesman for the AIDS effort. You know, it was an amazing story to me because although he was dealing with physical illness, it made my mind go to another illness. There is an inward illness. An inward illness that folks have a decaying almost, or an attack on the soul, where you get to a point where you're not trying to help anyone. In fact, you feel unuseful. I know that's not a word, but I don't want to say useless. But you feel unuseful. Not only to help others, but even like to encourage and help yourself. And it's an attack on your soul and on your mind and on your heart all within you where you can't reach out and help someone else. When we talk about feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, that's what we're talking about. Helping someone else. Helping someone else. In ancient Rome, The soldiers wore sandals made up of leather, and they had multiple layers of sole, if you will, and then studded with nails for grip. And the right footwear had to go for the right occasion. They were warriors, right? They were warriors. And this footwear wasn't like a fashion statement like today, but it was very practical. It protected them from the cold, from the rocks, from the hot sand, from wet conditions. It was the right shoe for the right occasion. And most times, you know, you see me, and I have this thing where I need a rubber sole. I need some grip. And it carry over from, you know, basketball days where I need my grip, right? And then it also carries now over to my job because, you know, if someone might get, with me, I need to. So I need to get to be able to grip. Amen. I need to be able to grip, you know. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, I have a son. And he's the exact opposite. You would rarely see him in good grip shoes. He's one of those fellas that love to wear the dress shoes. And in fact, in high school, it wouldn't be surprising if you saw him out on the court with some dress shoes.
With some Stacey Adams.
Slipping.
Oh, it's so cool. That's under Tom Collins, Stacey Adams.
And I know his close boys, when they see him out on the court, they say, God bless you to be a musician, huh? But the point is that you got to have the right shoes for the right occasion, right? You got to have the right shoes for the right occasion. Here's another kind of crazy thing about me. You will not see me have on just one pair of socks. I know, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah, but it carried over. And most sports guys and ball players, they gear up like that. They don't have one sock on because that shoe needs to feel like it's one with you, right? It feels like it's just like your foot. It's got to go where you go. There ain't no slipping and sliding around in my shoes right now. I'm tight. I'm good, right? I'm good. Matter of fact, I could play ball in these if I wanted to, you know, because they feel just right. They are a part of me, and that's what shod means. Your feet are bound tight. Right, like you see fellas today, they have, and I used to do this too, where my ball shoes, I just would slap them on and then I would wear them out. But when it was time to do some damage, you had to lace them up. Right? You had to bind them to your feet. And that's what this means. It means to bind them to your foot or your feet. And notice that this is all about the armor of God. Mm-hmm. Everything that it tells you to do, even in verse 14, it says having. That word having means to sink into it. Remember I told y'all, you got to sink into this armor. You got to make it feel like it's you. It's part of you. Remember my analogy of the brother with the shirt, right? He owned that shirt. You know, you feel good in that shirt. When you got this suit on, You don't want something that you are conscious of and like, oh man, people looking at me for the wrong reason. I want them to look at me for the right reason, right? Because I'm feeling sharp and I'm feeling good, right? That's what it's about. It's sinking into it, owning it, taking ownership of it. This whole thing is about putting on the armor of God and applying it to your life, applying it to you. You don't want loose equipment when you are in danger and in a fight. You don't want that. You want that belt of truth to be what? Tight on you, right? And you want that breastplate of righteousness to be snug on you because it's about protection. And you want your shoes to be bound. So you want to bind yourself in truth, bind yourself in righteousness, and bind yourself in peace. In peace. You know, we're talking about warfare here. And the enemy would love to take your peace. He would love to take your peace. Matter of fact, he would love if he had an opportunity to go back. He would have, not only did he try to kill Jesus at his birth, right? But all of a sudden, Jesus goes on and dies a victorious death on the cross. The Satan would love to take that back. He would love to take his birth back. He would love to take his death back. And he would love to take his resurrection back. His birth, his death, and his resurrection. In other words, he would love to take the gospel back if he could. Amen? And that's what we're in. We're in a war in which we have to prepare ourselves with the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. You know, it's interesting too, because we have to do this for three reasons. Because Satan wants to make you question your peace with God. He wants you to question your peace with God. That's the foundation. To question your peace with God. See, it's interesting why Paul even wrote in Romans, the 5th chapter, he knew this was an attack. He said, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice, saints. We rejoice, saints, in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Not only does he want to take your peace, but he wants to take your joy. This is a war. And the war is going on in here, and it's inside, and he wants to take your peace, and he wants to take your joy. At some point, you're going to have to say, you know what? You cannot have my peace. And on your way out, keep your hands off my joy. That's going to have to be a resolve within you. You have to have the fortitude within you to say that during an attack. But he does not just want your peace with God. He wants the peace that God has given you with yourself. right? The enemy is firing fiery darts, right? Fiery darts, arrows. And guess what these arrows are made up of? They're made up of your jackups. They're made up of your jackups. When you jack up, he said, oh. And he fired right back at you, right? He fired right back at you. And he says to you stuff like, oh, okay, they call you Mr. Church now. They call you Mrs. Church now, huh? remember when you used to? Remember you used to do that? Yeah, and they call you Mr. Church. Really? Remember when you used to? Let me remind you. Right? So I can take the peace that you have even with yourself now. Wait a minute. Did I just see that you changed that 0 to a 5 on your tax? On your tax form? It's the Holy Ghost. Did I just see that? See, it's not only made up of your past mess ups, but guess what we still do? We still mess up. And guess who would love to remind us time and time again? So you will not have peace with yourself, right? For I do not understand my own actions, Paul says in Romans 7. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. I said, thanks be to God.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ. And why did I keep repeating that? Because not only does he want to take your peace, not only does he want to take your joy, but he also wants to take your praise. Yes. He wants to take your praise, saints. And he wants to take your praise because he wants you to question your position, your peace with God, which will mess up your peace with yourself. Why does he want to do that? Because of the third thing. He wants to jack up your peace with men. He doesn't want this peace that you have to be spreaded. He doesn't want it to be spreaded around. He does not want you to go out there with the gospel of peace for somebody else. So what does he do? He jacks up the peace with everybody else. Oh, he loves if we are at each other's necks. Oh, he loves it. Peace ain't going nowhere when he's got us fighting with ourselves. Peace will not go anywhere when the thing is that we can quickly see what we hate in sister so-and-so and see what we really dislike in brother so-and-so, and we wish that they were gone. Ain't no praying for them. Let them go. Right? Ain't no praying for them. Just let them go. The peace that we even have among ourselves is at jeopardy. But he said, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And if we got the peace of God, and then that peace with ourselves, maybe it'll help us with peace with each other. Maybe it'll help with peace with each other. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You know, there's like different ways to murder. You know, you can kill, but then I'm talking about sometimes you just murder folks with your mouth. With your mouth. You covet and cannot obtain. You fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. On your passions. See, we cannot come to church with this mama said knock you out attitude. We can't come in a church like this. Say something. Say something. I thought about how you talked to me last time. All week long. Say something. Just say something. Ooh. We can't come to church like this. Right? We can't. This ain't peace. This is not peace.
Hey, let's do this.
This is not peace. This is not togetherness. This is not working together. This is not being on one accord. This is Canelo and Cesar Chavez. Right? This is a fight. A fight that God does not want. So loosen up, right? And don't use these arms to swing. Use them to help, to hug. Amen? To love. Amen? The enemy wants to take your peace. He wants to take your joy. He wants to take your praise. And he's always attacking love. He does not want us to love. See, I told y'all all this before too. Argument and quarrel is different. See, I like arguing. Don't get me wrong. I like arguing. Arguing is to get to the truth of the matter. Quarreling is trying to prove a point. Why do you or because you make it about you and not getting to the truth. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if we are about getting to the truth, I'm good. But if you're trying to prove a point, guess what I'm going to do to you? Yeah. I'm not about proving points. Let's get to the truth. Let's get to the truth. Amen? So he wants to take your peace, your joy, your praise, and he wants to mess with our love. Why? Because that was one of the last commandments that Jesus gave to us. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Why? Because by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And shoes for your feet. Having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Readiness. That word readiness or preparedness, it speaks of a readiness that's inside. Not necessarily outside, but an inside readiness. You have to have done some work. God's got to do some work in here. Amen. Get you fit in here internally for the work that he has for you to do out there. Do we want to send a bunch of folks out there that does not have peace with God? That does not have peace with themselves? Have you ever dealt with somebody that did not like themselves? It's not a pleasant exchange. They don't like themselves, and they're proving it to you constantly. We don't want that. We want to shore up that peace with God, shore up that peace with yourself, understand that you've been forgiven. So you can go and tell others that they can be forgiven as well. Amen?
Amen.
And you got to always stay prepared. You got to always stay prepared, right? Now, if you look at Luke, the fourth chapter and verse 13, you'll see that Jesus' temptation experience was towards the end. And then all of a sudden, what does Luke 4:13 says? It says this, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So don't think that the devil's been on your back and he's been beating you and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you come and say, whew, he's gone. Yeah, right. He's going to circle back, right? He's going to wait for that opportune time when you got your guards down, right? And when you have your guards down, that's just when somebody says something wrong to you. You have it down. You thought everything was cool. And all of a sudden, somebody is speaking out the side of their head at you. And what comes out your mouth is a whole bunch of darts for Satan. Right? Because he done caught you. He caught you slipping. Right? He caught you slipping. You thought everything was on Easy Street. And then all of a sudden, this brother come and talk to me like that. No, he didn't. Who you? What? Right at that opportune time, you have to stay ready. Stay ready. This thing is more... This thing is more than about you. And I'm not trying to down anyone. This work that we're involved in, this thing that we're in, this war that we're in, is for souls. Right? He saved your soul. He gave you peace to give peace to others. You know, in the ancient days, in about, I believe it was 436 BC, they say that it was a battle of Marathon, and that's how we got the word Marathon. So it was a battle of Marathon. And they said that what happened is, in the city had a watchman, and they would have runners that would come from the battlefield. And they would come back to the city. These runners would come back to the city. And the watchman on the post would see the runner coming from a distance. And they said they could tell how the battle is going just by how that person ran. Right? If they were losing, he had a gate to his run where the watchman could flat out say, I don't think this is going to be good news. I don't think it's going to be good news. But all of a sudden, if he had a pep in his step and he was running towards that city, right? Just by the way he ran, they could say, I think things are going well. That's why Isaiah said, how pleasant, how good it is, right? When you see those gospel feet coming your way with good news, it's an awesome sight to see. So when we go towards people and we are running towards people, how is it looking? When we come to each other, how is it looking? You can tell by the walk. You can tell by the talk how good it is or how not good it is. When we go out there, we want to be prepared. And we want to be prepared with good news. Good news. Amen? We got some good news to share. There's a war going on, saints. There's a war going on. Not only are you supposed to bind yourself up with truth, bind yourself up with that righteousness, but you also have to bind yourself up with peace, because you've been given peace to give peace, to give peace. So the question is, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Have you made that decision to be prepared with God? To where you have peace with Him. And then, has He given you peace with yourself? And if you do, then are you working on that to be at peace with all men? Because this peace that you've been given, it's got to be spread. You can't keep it to yourself. Jeremiah said it was like fire shut up in my bones. Couldn't keep it to myself. Don't be worn down by your mistakes, by your sin, by your sin.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.